This morning we're going to look at Mark chapter 4. And we're going to consider the fact that it's God's pattern that He has set everything to be a seed. And there are natural seeds, there are spiritual seeds. But what we will be in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, 20 years' time depends very much on the seed that God has placed in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus in Mark chapter 4 compares the kingdom of God to a seed. Let's look at verse 26 first. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and to sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. It says, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it in a sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. So Jesus gives us a picture of a mustard seed as the kingdom of God. And we also know that he compares faith to a mustard seed and other places in the Bible. So here we want to consider what a seed is. If you notice, he says mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. But when it is planted, it grows taller and bigger than all those normal plants that they have experience in Israel. But it is smaller when compared to other forms of seed and other plants. It is smaller, but yet that seed could produce a plant far larger than other seeds. And Jesus is saying here in the first parable that the one who sows the seed doesn't know how it happened, what takes place. Knowledge has abounded, and today man is able to understand more or less what is involved in that seed. Think about the mustard seed. It's just one tiny dot. In fact, the mustard seed, if you ever seen it, is so tiny that if you hold it too close to your mouth, your very breath will blow it away. Smaller than a rambutan seed, smaller than a lotus seed. It's so tiny. Yet in that tiny little seed that's barely visible to the eye is a huge, mighty tree. What is it? How does it take place? When that seed is planted, everything that is necessary, the materials that are necessary to build that tree into its huge size, comes from its surroundings. It comes from nutrition that the seed will draw in. It comes from the sunlight that it will use to convert into part of its food. So everything that it needs to produce that huge tree comes from outside, not from inside. It's not contained inside that seed. All the necessary material to build the trunk, the leaves, and all the various parts of the tree come from outside. What that seed can draw from the soil, from the ground, from the sun, from the air. What power then has the seed? That seed has the power to convert all materials around it to form it into that image and that physical tree that we see. So that seed in itself is not the material. It is not. Material comes from the outside. That seed is a powerful force that we know today is a gene that causes material to flow in a certain direction. If it's a rambutan seed, it will cause it to flow in a certain direction and form that tree, a rambutan tree. If it's a durian seed, it will cause it to flow and form a durian tree, which has its special characteristics. If it's a mustard seed, it will cause all materials. You could plant different type of seeds in the same ground, having the same sunlight, the same air, same fertilization, and they all produce. From the same material, they produce different trees. So it's not the seed that brings the material. Whatever is in the seed has the ability to convert, to channel, to form, to mold, to push whatever material it has into the identity that the seed has encoded inside. So that seed represents a gene factor. Today, as a result, the information technology, we have a comparison for that in a computer. That seed has a genetic code, which is like a computer program. Could you imagine the computer program? Basically, there are a few computer languages that would tell it how to behave. But let's take the basic DOS program. Using the same basic command, whether it's BASIC or is one of these, a C language or whatever, using the same language to program the computer, they could cause that computer to function differently. If you ever use different type of computer programs, you possibly could have come across a simple program. Then you could just do a few things to your data, write a letter, print it out, and spell check the letter, everything, simple basic program. Then using the same computer and using different commands, they could make it into a program that is huge, like a spreadsheet program, which could handle tremendous amounts of data, and the only limit is your hardware, how much memory you have. And it all came from the same simple command and program language. See, that program language is just a sort of code. So when you bring in information, it will say, all right, I'll put this information here, put this information there. Then if I put a program differently, you put in the same information, I say, all right, now this program says, put this information there and put that information here. So that program just tells your computer where to put and how to handle the data you put into the computer, whatever you put in. It is just like a code. In the same way, the seed has a genetic code. And that genetic code handles material. It is not the material itself. It handles the materials that come in your life. We all also have a genetic code in our body, in our chromosomes. 46 of them. We all started as a one-cell creature. No matter how big size, how small size you are now, you all started as a tiny little cell. All of us. Yet, in the tiny little cell is every command necessary to tell how tall you'll be in 50 years' time. And you tell how long your nose will be, how wide your mouth will be, what kind of skin you will have, what is the color you have. It's all inside that. Now we know that the materials are not in the cell. Everything that the cell needs as it grows is drawn from the mother. And when the baby is born, the baby has to continue taking materials from outside, food, nutrition, air, exercise, everything from outside. But everything that comes in, the genetic code tells it, all right, you go over here, you go over here, you go over here. And it forms the bones and the bodies accordingly. So the genes and the seed symbolize a set of codes. Spiritually, when we were born again, God has set a seed in our heart and in our lives. Let's look at the book of 1 John for a moment. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, it says, because he has been born, just as there, of God. It's because he has been born of God. That seed that has come into your life was a cord. Remember, the material is not in the seed. Sometimes when you think of the seed of God in our lives, you think, well, all the materials are inside, it just needs to come out. No, it's the same principle. The seed that is planted is the encoded genes in a spiritual sense that will tell us how to handle all the data and all the experiences of our life and all the intake that we have in our spirit, in our soul, in our physical body. It tells how you are to place all the information and push all the materials together. Perhaps that would be a very good illustration, in that all the different seeds have a code that tells how to push all the various materials to put inside. And it puts it to form whatever it was programmed to form. So we have a spiritual that God has planted into our life when we are born again. The Bible also compares in the book of Matthew. Let's look at the Gospel of Matthew, and we consider chapter 21, verse 21. Matthew 21, verse 21. It says, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done in the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done for you." Now it says about the power of faith. Faith and do not doubt. Right? Remember that. Faith and do not doubt. Now look over at Matthew 17, verse 20. Same story about moving mountains. Because of your unbelief, he says, "For assuredly I say to you," in verse 20, Matthew 17, verse 20, "if you have faith as a mustard seed," if you have faith as a mustard seed, in other words, faith is the spiritual gene that will handle all data, information, and material that you put into your life. The opposite of faith, as Matthew 21 or 21 shows us, is doubt. Now, faith in the Bible is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Hebrew word, and Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1. Actually, in the Greek, it says in verse 1, the word substance is not a noun. But in all translations, it translates as a noun. Faith is a substance. Actually, the word substance is a participle. It's something continuous. It's like a verb that is continuous. So it strictly should have been translated, faith is a substantiating of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substantiating. Now that's what a code is. That's what a seed is. A seed is a force that substantiates, that causes a substance to be pushed, molded, formed into what you want it. So it compares the process of faith with a mustard seed. In other words, what you think is a part of the programming in our life. Then it's what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. It depends on what goes on in our mind. So when we consider the seed, remember this. What you think is part of the process of faith. Faith starts in the spirit. But faith has a voice. Faith is the word. And the word is a principle. And those principles are taught in our life. The spoken word is a thought. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So the word that is in the spirit needs to be upon our soul for it to program everything else that you have in life. That is why you could take 10 people with different faith levels, put them into the same place, and they will come up differently. They are like 10 seeds planted, but how they handle the affairs of life, how they will come out, depends on how they were inwardly programmed. I was reading an article on these hostages that were released recently, and they interviewed 2 persons. One of them, before he was kidnapped, he had a cheerful countenance. I mean, he was one who really approached life very optimistically. The other guy was a pessimist. He was already having problems. And then he too got kidnapped. When they both came out, after many years of being held hostage, the one who had a positive approach in life came out far better. And the one who already was a pessimist came out worse. He forgot who he was. Same condition. So it's how a person is that determines what he will come out. Before you enter the ground, before you enter the situation, how you're inwardly programmed to think, to function, to believe, to walk in fear or faith, to walk with joy or in sorrow, how your program will affect how you will come out in the years to come. So a seed has a data, has a program. As we look at the word seed is a genetic program. It's a genetic program that forms all material input into our lives. And that's what I call the seed of God in our life. And it has to rise and multiply in our souls to affect everything else in our body. Besides that, within the seed, the genetic code is for the whole life of the tree. It's not just for 5 years. The entire life of the tree is encoded inside. Exactly how long the tree will live, exactly how long a person will live, talking about the natural person, the lifespan of a dog, 8 to 10 years, right? It's programmed in their chromosome. The lifespan of an animal that lives longer than that, let's say a tortoise, is programmed inside. So if you consider that, let's remember that all of us have a genetic code in the spirit within us, the seed of God. We need to uncover it, we need to let it come forth and renew our minds. But some people only understand part of it. In other words, if you plan for your life for the next 5 years and you can only see 5 years ahead, when another person sees 20 years ahead, your decisions will be different. Which is what one brother asked me. Says, why not we purchase a theater, a building? I said, that will be only thinking 3 years ahead. And anyway, we have a building right now, we are in a place that is bigger than any theater. We can say 1,500 and we manage to squeeze 2,000 when we need it, very instant, 2,000 plus. And all the theaters sit less than that. And if you think 3 years ahead, 5 years ahead, that's your decision. And you spend $2 million for about 14,000 to 20,000 square feet. But if you think 30 years ahead, your decision is different. It changes what you decide now. So how far ahead you see determines your decision now. When we talk about having foresight, people think in terms of 5 years. We need to understand, we have to see your entire life in order to really plan today. You have encoded into your spirit your entire life. I don't plan my life just by 10 years, 20 years. I plan my entire life. Some people thought they are already doing well just by planning 20 years. No, you have not planned your whole seed yet. You say, brother, I cannot hear God that well. Then praying down. And get that seed and that code out. We plan the entire life. We plan the entire life of the church under Jesus comes. Don't just plan 5 years. Because in 5 years' time, you need to make a change and you may find it difficult. That's why before we moved into this building, we had a plan that we could be here for a long, long time. Otherwise, within these 4 years, we were shifted another 2 or 3 times. So we are talking about foresight. When we talk about foresight, we are talking about the whole plan of God. And you say, will God do that? Read the Bible. God wants to show you things to come. And He wants to show us things to come in 5 years. He wants to show you things to come right through your entire life. If right now you plan your business only for 5 years, your decisions are only that much. But you plan your business for the entire life until Jesus comes, your decisions now will make a slight difference. Sometimes a major difference. So we need foresight. And we need, of course, all the other things that we are not touching on. You need hindsight. And you need insight. Hindsight is to understand history and how not to repeat mistakes. Insight is to understand people's hearts, minds, and thinking. Because you can have a fantastic good program, but if you don't understand how people work, how people feel, you'll never be able to implement it. Because you're dealing with human beings. So a seed has all the entire life planned inside. A question asked of you by God is, can you see your entire life? Now I'm not saying that you have to see in detail. Because if you do something, you may be so frightened. Yeah, I never thought I would be doing all those things. Before you start, you faint and die of fright. But you would have a general overview to know your direction. Right till Jesus comes. That's what the seed has. So if you don't have a revelation of your entire life in some form, you only have part of a seed. You really have the whole seed, you have your entire life encoded there. And everything and how you will handle is going to be formed and pushed by that seed. The second thing that we note here in seed, in Mark chapter 4, is that when you talk about seeds, you talk about 3 areas. You talk about time of planting, a time of waiting, and a time of reaping. So understand that when we handle the seeds that God has sown into our life, there will always be a time of planting, a time of waiting, and a time of harvesting. And of all these 3 periods, the longer time is the time of waiting. The time of planting is gone very quickly. When you plant a seed in, you cannot see anything else. Faith is goes the rest of the way. In the time of harvesting, you got to do it fast and quick. But the most tedious part is the time of waiting. waiting and waiting till the seed grows up. And when God has given you a seed in your life, He has given you many seeds. He has given you seeds and revelation about your personal life, your personal ministry, your business, your career, your work. He has given you seeds. And you must pray in God until you see the entire dispensation of your life. God has a book written up there about your entire life in detail. So why doesn't God show it to me? You haven't asked God yet. Pray in tongues. The Spirit will show you things to come, so that your entire life will be governed and directed. That's why when we plan something, let's say we are planning the Vision Heights project, which we are focusing on this Sunday. We don't plan for 5 years, my friend. We plan for the entire existence in this country under Jesus Christ. That plan will take us right through even 2020 and will take us past that on Jesus' service. That's what we are talking about. Not short-sighted foresight. Even foresight can be short-sighted. A long-range foresight. Surely you don't envision that you expand. And then every 2-3 years you got to see 2,000 people about, then 4,000 people about. They'll be going round and round. It'll be difficult to look for a place by that time. Now we must have foresight. Long range foresight. Say, I have long range foresight. And the middle part is very, very difficult. The waiting period. Because the waiting period is the part where your seed will be tested. You know, many seeds thrown into the ground die. No matter how good your code is, the genetic code of a seed, the environment still affects you a lot. I'm sure some of you have done simple science experiments. When you place different green peas into different types of test tubes, and then on some you put more nitrogen, on some you put more different chemicals, and they all are different. They look different. Same seed look different. Why? Some they have fantastic leaves. Some they have no leaves. Some they are half dead. Same coat, but affected by the environment. So we realize that when we look at the seed of God and the mustard seed of faith, that faith of yours can be affected by your environment. If you don't watch it, you have to guard your heart. Guard that code from viruses, computer virus. Guard your computer program from computer viruses that will infect it and change your entire data processing process. You have to guard it. During that time, you guard, you nurture. It's a waiting period, and most people die off at the waiting period. It's a waiting period that is very hard for people to take. Because in the waiting period, you'll be challenged, you've got nothing to show. You've thrown everything into the ground, and you say, where is it? I can't, just please wait. Where is it? You can't. That's when the testing and the trials come. That's when the insects will come. That's why all those people come to eat it up, to attack, and underground insects attack the seed, surface insects attack the leaves, all kinds of things. And you got to watch, you got to wait, and you haven't tasted the harvest yet, but you're nurturing it carefully. A waiting period. Everyone has a waiting period, and if you have any seed from God, any vision from God, you have to prepare for a waiting period. No waiting, no growth. The third area that we consider from that same passage is we all know that genetic changes can naturally occur through radiation, and they have done that. I have a little book that has a little article about a plant. I forgot what the name of the plant was, but they exposed the plant, one of the seeds, they exposed it to radioactivity. Then the other seed is normal. they planted it. And the one that is really activity grew up with tumors all over the plant. There are forces that try to alter the genetic code. That is why we could explain, we all could explain how all the different races of the world came from Noah, and how they were scattered during the days of Peleg. We all came from the same tree. We all came from Noah. And I'm discussing with these men of God, is speaking and say, how do you explain the physical differences and characteristics? You can explain, you know, certain areas of different races came, but how do you explain the different characteristics? The oriental eye, the oriental nose, the special long noses, the Jewish noses. How do you explain all this? The only explanation I will find is that somehow when human races live on different parts of the earth after Noah's time, exposed to different climatic conditions and different environments, through many generations, exposed to the same different type of diet in different type of places, the genetic code within each one of them began to alter and change. So there are changes even in genes. And today people are realizing, scientists are realizing, that where there are weaknesses in the genes, it has caused people to be susceptible, more susceptible to certain diseases. In other words, the human gene is no more perfect. Is an imperfect gene, can be altered. We need to understand the forces that play it. Radiation is one of those things. So in the third area, we are talking about how even when you have the mustard seed of faith, if you allow doubt to come upon your life, if you allow circumstances to change the genetic code of faith that God has placed, you will affect your life. And sometimes it's the positive way, sometimes the negative way. Some people, they live their life in a mediocre situation. They couldn't care to do much in life. All they do is live hand to mouth, hand to mouth. Then suddenly one day, it could be one message they heard, or something that they read, or a statement spoken by a friend, or something that trigger their life, and they say, yes, I can do something more in life, and instantly they change. Something triggered in their life and they change into a genius, into a special person who does more than being mediocre. So on the positive side, that happens to a person. Something triggers within them. On the opposite side also can happen. When a person's life gets short-circuited, and even before they die physically, they really die in the soul. They've lost all will to live. They've lost all will to do something in life, to achieve. What has happened? Their genetic code is being destroyed. And you could give them all the materials necessary, they will still die off. Because when you lose the code, you lose everything. And that's what Satan tries to do. He places doubt, fear, influences, wrong influences, to undermine the genetic code. We close by looking at the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms, chapter 1. And here is a psalm that tells us that human beings are like a tree. Now, if human beings are like a tree, then human beings also have a seed. Because all trees are from seed in its original form. Today, in a fallen state, some plants even lost the ability to produce seed. So in the same way, all humans have a genetic code. Now, notice here, it's comparing human beings with a tree. And it's talking about the programming that is necessary for a human being. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who nor stands in the power of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now there are three positions: walk, stand, and sit. Now all those three emphasizes the influences of the enemy trying to alter your genetic code. Even though you may be righteous, even though you may have the seed of God in you for righteousness, he who is born of God does not sin. But if you listen to the wrong counsel, you will end up a sinner. What happened? That code within you is being altered and affected by the radiation of the enemy. Says that they walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking symbolizes direction. Walk, stand, and sit. The first one walks off from a direction. Stand and sit talks about position. So the direction in your life, how you will flow in your life, is affected by listening to the wrong counsel. And you know how it is in every meeting that you go to in your business area, and you seek out information. You realize one wrong piece of information can blow up your whole decision-making process. Because all this signifies the seed, the code that we are receiving. Standing and sitting, it takes two different verbs to describe a position. Standing in the path of sinners. It didn't say that you're sinning. It just says that you're with them. Just be with them. Without protecting yourself, you begin to allow their radiation to affect your genetic code. The way they think, you begin to think like them. The way they talk, you begin to talk like them. Watch out. That will affect your genetic code. You eat up your face seed. And then eat up your entire life. Jesus had a special ability to be among sinners and yet not be a sinner. But don't have the impression he's always around sinners. If you analyze the life of Jesus, you would find that in public he has only a small percentage, perhaps 10 to 30%. The other 90 to 70% is spent with God and with his disciples. The major amount of time was with believers still. Sometimes when we make the statement, Jesus was among sinners but he was not a sinner, people think that he was 100% all the time with sinners. He was not. Major portion of time he was alone with God. Then with his disciples, 12 of them. And then in public, he tells you they speak parables to them, and then he goes off. So if you had the proportions wrong, something is going to happen in your life. You don't have a depth with God. You are not deeply rooted in God. Your roots will be easily affected and swayed by the influences of your friends. That is why, even if you do not sin, but you expose yourself constantly from the time you wake up to the time you sleep to worldly music, worldly news, worldly papers, and your time with God is only a little bit, subconsciously something begins to happen. The radiation begins to affect God's genetic code of faith in you. 6 months later, you're wondering why you cannot do as well as you did before. It's because you're being decoded and a virus has not attacked your code, and your reaction and planning, everything becomes different. That's why you could take two people, one with a mustard seed of faith intact, the other mustard seed easily affected, put them in the same business and they come out differently. See, it tells you at the end of this psalm, he will prosper in what he does. He will prosper in what he does. You know how I can tell how a person is genetically encoded in their master seed of faith? When something don't turn out right, I watch what they do. How they are code encoded will determine how they are going to react. I've seen it many times. Whenever problems come, people react differently. Some start looking for scapegoat instead of looking for solutions. Some start looking at themselves and beginning to consider themselves as failures. But only those who are encoded with the master seed of faith will begin to say, let's see how God will help us to be. The first thing that happens when a person says something doesn't turn out, somebody will say, I knew it all along, this was going to happen. Because they have done this. Very quick to find the reason why you fail, but very slow to find out the reason how to succeed. What's wrong with those people? They have been genetically decoded and they have lost their master seed of faith. So, do not stand in the path of sinners, but that will affect your mind. Your principles will begin to be affected. Like Lot. Lot was righteous. The Bible in the New Testament calls him righteous Lot. But he exposed himself constantly. Then he became a compromiser. Can you imagine when the angels came and the homosexuals were going after the angels? He wanted to put his daughters out to them. What a man. Man. Then, but the Bible says he was righteous. He was righteous but not holy. Holiness includes righteousness, but righteousness doesn't include holiness. Because righteousness has to do with moral commands to the law. Obedience. Holiness has to do with going beyond the law. If you do everything that is lawful and don't do anything unlawful, you're righteous. But if you don't do those things that are unlawful and you also don't do those things that are inexpedient, then you're holy. Paul says there are things that are unlawful, he doesn't do them. There are things that are not unlawful, that means they are lawful, they're not unlawful. But they are inexpedient. And he don't want to do that because he wanted to be holy. Kairos, righteousness, talks about, you know, uprightness in the law, in the sight of the law. Holiness is from the Greek word hagios, which means something different. It means separated. And my friends, there are a lot of Christians who are righteous, but they're not holy. They're righteous because they hold the moral commands. They don't break the Ten Commandments. They don't break the law. But they are not holy. They are not separated. Let me tell you what the difference in holiness. A holiness is when God began to tell you don't read the papers too much. When God tells you don't watch the TV too much. Or don't watch it at all. You say, but God, what's wrong? Ten Commandments never said thou shalt not watch the TV. See, it has nothing to do with your righteousness. You don't break the Ten Commandments by thinking, by turning on the TV now. Of course, you turn on the TV knob and you watch the dark tree, then something wrong. But what happens is, turn the TV knob and all you watch is sports, news. So, if you begin to watch it about 5 hours a day, you say, I didn't make any commandments, I'm just watching badminton. Yes, you're righteous, but you're not holy. It has nothing to do with your righteousness, but it has to do with your holiness. Because there are a lot of people who are dikaios, but they are not hagios. They are not separated unto God. They're saying, God, I belong to you. What do you want me to do with my life now? God, my body belongs to you. My eyes belong to you. What do you want me to do, oh God? And God said, I want you to spend time with me till you just long. That's holiness. See, the other position in Psalms 1, verse 1, it says, not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, sitting is worse than standing, or deeper than standing. The position is more secure. sitting implies that now even your attitude from your very heart are being affected. Standing has reference to your soul. Walking has reference to your body, your action. Sitting has reference to your heart, the seat of your feelings. In the something deeper. See, sit in a seat of the scornful. You not only pick up their principles. You know, principles and attitudes are two different things. You could have the right principle but have the wrong attitude. Don't forget, principles and attitudes are two different things. Both of them are part of the encoding within us. God deals with our attitudes and our principles. God told the Israelites in the book of Isaiah, if you're willing and obedient, they were obedient but not willing, like Canaan. And God never prospered him. Why? Because he was obedient but not willing. His attitude was not there. Lester Sumrall, in the early days of his ministry, God called him to the ministry. He knew God called him, he obeyed God's call, but he didn't like it. And when he was preaching, he don't enjoy preaching, he just enjoyed calling them. You read his biography, Run With The Vision. And he says God deal with his heart. God deal with his heart and his attitude. He was doing what God told him to do, but his attitude was not right. He was hammering people over the head. And God says, God showed him a vision of the lost, the dying, and then he came. He began to love sinners. So by the time you see the seed of the scornful, you begin to pick up the attitude. Remember, attitudes form principles. Principles form action. But the positive thing in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. Now the positive side. You know what he's doing in verse 2? He's encoding himself. Day and night, you just take God's word. Take God's word. Take God's word. If I don't see the results yet, take God's word. Because if you have the right code, see, what God is telling us, a lot of Christians are struggling in the wrong places. You're going to find the point of faith, find it where it is, not in the wrong place. Some people are doing their fighting outside the boxing ring. Do it in the right place. Your only fight is to preserve the code. Right? If the mustard seed is faith, then your only fight is to preserve that code. Because if that code is preserved, that code, C-O-D-E, will control all materials that come to you. If you lose that code, it's finished. But as long as you have that programming intact, it can handle all the data you give it. You can handle all data given. All data means all circumstances, all hardship, all trials, as long as the code is intact. So your only fight, my friend, is to make sure your genetic code of faith is not altered, not changed, is not polluted. That's your only fight. Preserve it. So how do we fight that kind of fight? Meditate on the word day and night. Because the word is able to renew your code. The word is able to strengthen that program. That word is able to clean out any virus that may try to stick to that programming. A chromosome, the DNA and RNA, is all little tiny chemicals linked up together. Sometimes a virus chemical tries to link up to the chromosome, which is what happens in the AIDS virus. The AIDS virus attacks the chromosome of your white cells. It deceives your white cells to think that that virus is your chromosome and they fix it in. That's a picture of the devil trying to attack your code. So preserve it by meditating day and night. Results, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And what I want you to see is the last part. Whatever. Now the word whatever includes everything. It means everything, anything, everything and anything.
Then why so powerful? Anything, everything, whether in business, in ministry. Because if you get your quotes right, your materials will be alright. If you get your genetic code perfect, all the materials will form perfectly. And David has such confidence to say, you will always prosper. And I could have this confidence to say of you too. That if you really get God's word into your life and have the mustard seed encoded into you perfectly, anything you do, everything you do, the worst circumstances, the best of circumstances, you will prosper. It all has to do with that seed that you have in your life. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise Him. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We ask, O God, that the vision You place in our life, that seed that You place in our life, may always remain pure. You know, O God, how genetic changes can come physically because of diet, because of exposure to natural circumstances and radiation. But, O God, we know we have a key how to protect. We thank You, Father God, that Your word seals our life. Your word, of God, protects that seed in us. So we ask, O God, that the seed that You have placed in our hearts and lives, we may be able to preserve it and fight a good fight of faith. Seal it in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Sing that song, I know that I know that I know. I know that I know that I know I'm free from the curse of the law. Poverty, sickness, and sin. I know that I'm free from it all. Praise God, give Jesus a clap offering, and God bless.